here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We pray that you are intending on having an awesome day today. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's done his part. Let's make sure that we do ours. And so today we're going to take you back to 1 Kings chapter 20, where we left off yesterday. The king of Israel, Ahab, was just about to be attacked by Ben-Hadad and 32 other kings. But today he's going to hear Thus Says the Lord. If you remember, yesterday we talked about Thus Says Ben-Hadad. Today we're going to talk about Thus Says the Lord. I want to remind you that we're coming up on the Space Coast City Fest. That's going to be March 28th and 29th. And over 160 different churches have signed up to help with this evangelistic outreach. There's going to be some wonderful music groups that are coming to be a part of that. There's going to be some sports situations going on. There's going to be the gospel preached. There's going to be lives changed. And so if your church is participating in that, you might want to approach your pastor and ask him if there are resources. We're going to be passing out some of our resources that have been entrusted to us this coming weekend so that people can be letting others know. And I've seen some signs throughout the community already, and I know that there are other things coming up. If your church is participating, you might want to check with your pastor and see if there are some resources that you can utilize. If your church isn't participating, you might want to ask your pastor, hey, why aren't we participating? I'm not trying to cause trouble for him. I'm just saying, you know what? We need to realize that the kingdom of God is bigger than our single congregations or our single denominations or our in the assemblies of God. We're bigger than a voluntary cooperative fellowship. we're the body of Christ. You know, it was the church in certain cities that the Bible it talks about. It's the one church, many, many congregations. And so I pray that your church is participating in that. If not, you can find out more information by going to Space Coast City Fest. I believe it's .org. So if you start typing it in, it'll pop up. Space Coast City Fest. Take you back to 1 Kings chapter 20. Yesterday we had left with verse number 11, let not the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off. You know, young people are great for that. They think that they know everything until they find out that they don't know quite as much as they thought they did. I'm not saying you can't be extremely intelligent and knowledgeable, things like that, but there are some experiences that I've gained through the years that, I didn't learn my lesson through books. I learned my lessons through experience and through God's faithful provision. So when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I've been their pastor there for 27 years now. What people told me was, you know, what you really need is you need some experience. And now I have experience, and those same people that were telling me I needed experience back then are saying, well, what you need to be is young. Well, you know what? I can't change my birth date any. I do have a pretty youthful attitude. I still think that I can do all of the things that I did at 18. Amazingly enough, I can still hit a golf ball almost the same distances that I did when I was younger. Very thankful for that. There are some other people that hit it a lot farther than I do. Verse number 12, 1 Kings chapter 20. Don't grow old until God says you're old. That's my philosophy. Verse number 13, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen all of this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces. Then he said, who will set the battle in order? And he answered, you. Then he mustered the young leaders of the provinces, and there were 232. And after them he mustered all the people, all the children of Israel, 7,000. So we're going to stop the reading there for just a second. So here Ben-Hadad and his 32 allied kings are approaching, and verse number 12 says, get ready, and they got ready to attack the city. The attack is going to be imminent. It's coming at any given point in time. And all of a sudden, a man of God shows up. And he tells the king, by the way, I think that it is fantastic for kings to have godly spiritual advisors. Not just people who are going to tell them what they want to hear, but people who will tell them what they need to hear. Ahabs need an Elijah. Ahabs need a Micaiah. They need an unnamed prophet who are not afraid to go in there and say, thus says the Lord. They need a Nathan who can go up to King David. And in spite of the fact that an unrepentant king could have them executed at any given point in time, would have their final act be a thus says the Lord. When we come to church on Sunday mornings, it needs to be a thus says the Lord, not just thus says the latest marketing strategy. Thus says the Lord. And so he tells Ahab that in spite of the fact that it is a great multitude, and I'm sure that the number of attackers was more than the 7,242, I believe that was the number, 232, that the prophet says, I am going to deliver this threat, I'm going to deliver this enemy into your hand, and here's the reason why. Because I want you to know that I am the Lord. I don't want you to just know somebody who knows that I am the Lord, but Ahab, I want you to know that I am the Lord. He had already seen the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah conquered on Mount Carmel. He had seen the speed with which Elijah descended off of the mountain and got to the city before his royal chariots with his royal horses got down there. I love that story. He had already seen the miraculous a number of times. He saw the fire fall from heaven and all Israel cry out, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. He had seen all of that. And yet he gets a second chance with an unnamed prophet that says, I'm going to deliver you militarily right now. I'm going to give you a military victory because I want you to know that I'm God. Now, if you look at the last chapter in 1 Kings chapter 20, you will find that, in 1 Kings, it's chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter 22, you're going to find that the prophet Micaiah goes to Ahab and tells him exactly the opposite of what everybody else tells him. And Ahab has had enough experience with prophets to know that a true prophet from God, when he says, thus says the Lord, that it calls for a change in strategy. And so Ahab tried to outsmart God and the enemy on that occasion. It didn't work. You and I, we're never going to be able to outwit God. Okay? So he says, behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I believe that that is the primary reason for the book of Ezekiel. Over and over it says in the book of Ezekiel, and then you shall know that I am the Lord, and then you shall know that I am the Lord, then you shall know. And so whether it's dealing with an enemy that's approaching, or whether it's dealing with something in our heart, in our life, in our culture, whatever it is, we've got to understand the reason that God acts in our life the way that he does. He wants us to know God. He wants us to know God. You say, well, I already know him. We only know him superficially. You say, well, you don't even know me. How can you know that? How can you say that? Because the Bible talks about that he is going to spend all of eternity revealing his infinite holiness, the nature of his love to us. My finite mind is on a constant quest to discover more about this infinite God of love, of holiness, and justice. If you think that you've done anything more than just scratch the surface, the devil's trying to hold doubt on you because God has got so much more that he wants to reveal to us. And so Ahab has learned by now to ask a few questions. And so, you know, I've always said, you know, no one is completely worthless. They can always serve as a bad example. That's not original with me. It's something I heard, but I have remembered it all through the years. Don't ask me who it was that originally said it. I don't remember. It might have been Will Rogers. I come from his part of the country, so there were a lot of Will Rogers statements that we grew up hearing. But Ahab says, okay, by whom? If there's this deliverance from this great enemy that is coming, who is it going to be delivered by? And the prophet says, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces. By the young leaders of the provinces. Isn't it interesting that the people that God is wanting to use to bring about deliverance, the generation that he's wanting to bring about deliverance through, is the very generation that Ben-Hadad was demanding that Ahab send over his way? Can we really work hard at destroying this generational chasm in the body of Christ? Whether it's not about being young and it is not about being old, it's about all of us serving God to the best of our ability in the appropriate time. And I will tell you, there are some things in my life that I have learned from older ministers years and years and years older than I was when I heard it, and they were valuable insights into my life. I treasured them. And so I want to tell 20-somethings, you are not just an attendant of a church. You're a person of purpose and destiny. God wants you to know him, and he wants you to find your place in the body of Christ. And then he's going to come at an appropriate point in time, and he's going to say, this is your battle to lead. This is your battle to lead. You see, I believe that every battle's got to have a leader. It's not always the same leader. Okay? There's another time when Jehoshaphat is told to send out the praise and worship team, and the praise and worship team is going to bring the victory. Well, praise God, except for, I'm telling you what, if I'm part of that praise and worship procession, I'm praising God like it's the last thing that I'm ever going to do because it may, you are never more vulnerable than when you're running point. And I remember hearing this statement years ago. It said this: the United States military puts pieces of equipment that are valued at thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars into the hands of some of the youngest adults on the in our country, don't you think that the church should be willing to raise up young people so that they can serve, not just observe? Okay? Don't just observe, serve. And so, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces. And then Ahab asks another question. Who will set the battle in order? And we're talking about deliverance. And I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert here. Ahab and his young provincial leaders end up winning the battle. Shock. Oh, man, now you don't have to go see the movie. Who will set the battle in order? And Ahab is told, you will. The body of Christ is pretty good at being reactionary. We react whenever the attack comes. Now, in this case, Ben-Hadad has shown up at the gates of Samaria. If you read in, you know, David's reign, it says in the springtime when kings go off to war, David was taking the battle to other places. He wasn't waiting for the battle to come to him. Sometimes the battle came to him, and sometimes he took the battle to them. I have always been of the mindset that the best defense was a good offense. You see, because I've watched my Oklahoma Sooners lose way too many football games when their defense was on the field at the end of the game instead of their offense. I'm just a little bit of a reality check there. But when you're on the offense and you're always going forward, I believe that it's time that we set the battle in order instead of waiting for the enemy to bring the next financial crisis or the next relational crisis or the next physical crisis to our life. I think that we need to be saying, you know what? The kingdom of God is going forward, and it's not just going to be the older. It's going to be the younger. It's going to be a multiple generation process that goes forward in unity, and God commands victory and life forevermore. So I encourage you to be proactive. You know, Jesus said to Peter that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And yet many times we get the impression that we're just supposed to hold our ground, and then whenever the enemy comes in, that our gates are going to hold. That's not what it said. It says the gates of hell will not prevail, the gates of Hades. That means we're supposed to be the one that is taking the good news of Jesus Christ into enemy territory and watching as God delivers the captives and God makes himself known. And if the gates happen to get ripped off their hinges in the process, all the better, all the better. We're almost 2 months in to 2020 already. So in the first 2 months, have you been reacting to the enemy's actions, or have you been proactive? I think it's time that the people of God became proactive. So anyway, they go and they set the battle in order, and Ben-Hadad gives his men an instruction, and that says, whatever you do, bring them back alive. Don't kill them. So verse number 19. Then these young leaders of the provinces went out of the city with the army which followed them. And each one killed his man, so the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the cavalry. Then the king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and the chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. Does anybody remember why this victory was supposed to come about? It was because the king of the Lord wanted the king of Israel to know that he's God, and that when he speaks, it does come to pass. When Ben-Hadad speaks, it might sound intimidating, it might look ominous, but he may not have the goods to back up his boasting. Okay, so there's a devastating victory, and Ben-Hadad runs off. In verse number 22, we see this. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, "Go strengthen yourself. Take note and see what you should do, for in the spring of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you." Then the servants of the king of Syria said to him, "Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they. So do this thing. Dismiss the kings, each from his position, and put captains in their places, and you shall muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain. Surely we will be stronger than they." And he listened to their voice. Looking at the clock here, probably not going to get all the way through this today. In the year that Ben-Hadad mustered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel, and the children of Israel were mustered and given provisions, and they went against them. Now the children of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats, while the Syrians filled the countryside. Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, "Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys,' therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." I got 5 minutes here. Let me see if I can deal with some of these points, and then we'll move on to a different topic tomorrow. The prophet came to the king of Israel and said, "Go strengthen yourself." I've said this before. The last battle that we had, it's probably not our final battle. If you've come through something, you're probably going to go through another season of an adversity. And so we need to fortify ourselves. We need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We need to build ourselves up in relationship. We need to build ourselves up in the knowledge of the Word of God. We need to build ourselves up in our fortification, our make sure that our finances are in good working order. There have been some temptations that I've had through the years of pastoring, and I said, you know what? I know that there are some people who are out there and they're advocating that, but I see a different horizon in America spiritually coming, and I don't think that's going to be a strategy that always works well. I think I'm going to stick with the strategy that God has given me instead of embracing the strategy that others have encouraged. Strengthen yourself. Don't wait for your strength to be taxed. Go up and build yourself. Work yourself into better shape spiritually and relationally and financially, because another attack is most assuredly coming. Verse number 28 says this: "Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys,' therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand." This prophet came and he said, "Look, there's some bad theology. There's some bad doctrine that's out there. They don't fully understand. They think I am a restricted God instead of an omnipotent God. And so I'm going to deliver you once again. I'm going to deliver you not only from an oppressive enemy, but I'm going to deliver you from an enemy that wanted to steal away that which was the most valuable to you. I'm going to deliver you today from bad theology. I know that that's a word that people don't like to talk about very often. They don't like to talk about the word doctrine, and they don't like to talk about the word theology. And so we want to get it in bite-sized nuggets. We want to get it in little tweet-sized forms. But can I tell you that the best way to know the Word of God is to study it. Show yourself approved. Get into a class where you can be discipled and mentored so that you can be fashioned and formed, not just with what sounds good, but what is sound biblical truth that is going to endure the test of time. I am concerned about the number of people who are not growing in their understanding of the Word of God. And there is so much attack and assault on biblical principles. Sound theology is no longer tolerated in much of America. If you were to go up to a number of people and say, well, the Bible says this, one of two things is going to happen. One is they're going to try and explain away what it clearly says. Or the second thing is they're going to attack you for believing in biblical truth. God says, I don't care how big the enemy is, sound theology is never threatened by bad theology. God will come through and he will deliver us. And by the way, just as he delivered you the first time, he's going to deliver you the second time for the same reason, and that is this, because he wants you to know that he is the Lord. Can I tell you today, your circumstances today are not the Lord of your life. Your Lord needs to be Jesus Christ. Washed, cleansed by the blood, forgiven. You need the Lord interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? He is glad to do it. God bless you so much for listening. And we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You are great.